This morning's public reading from God's Word is taken from Luke chapter 13 this morning. Luke chapter 13, and going to be picking up in verse 23. Luke chapter 13, 23 to 35. So we'll be concluding chapter 13. So we got 13 chapters of Luke already read publicly. And as you know, next month we'll have the special nativity where we'll be reading the verses, selective verses and passages dealing with the coming of the Christ. And so we'll be stopping Luke 13 and then picking up Luke later on, hopefully in the new year to come. Ready? Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, that's Kairos, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and had shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, Kairos, Kairos, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. There are times and seasons when you read the four Gospels, Jesus says some very unusual things, very unusual statements that I believe caused many in his audience to scratch their heads. For instance, one of them, a most classic one, is found in John chapter 6. What did Jesus tell them in John chapter 6 when the same people who in John chapter 5 had bread and fish to the fill, with 12 baskets left over. The next day, Jesus crosses over to the other side of the Lake of Galilee. And they go hunting. They jump in their boats, and they start stroking to the other side when they find out where he was at. And they wanted to know why he was there, and Jesus said, Time out. You didn't come to hear me. You came to eat again. And notice, Jesus in John 6 doesn't feed him again. But he said some really unusual things, like, for instance, listen carefully, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Now, we know that the Roman Catholic Church has taken John chapter 6 and has taken it, wrenching it out of its context. Jesus was not speaking about communion at all. He was not instituting the Lord's Supper that day. And when you read the rest of John 6 and you put it in its context, Jesus used metaphorical language. He used signed He used types and shadows to depict something much greater. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood denoted a heartfelt trust and a total reliance upon him, like you would do with regular food and drink. Without food and drink, we all die. So we are to feast ourselves, dine upon the Lord, not literally eating his flesh and drinking his literal blood, but learning of him, dwelling upon him. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Well, notice verse 24. I thought we're saved by grace alone through faith alone. And yes, we are. That's the gospel message. But what does Jesus say? Strive to enter in at the straight gate. The Greek word that is translated strive here, listen to this, is a Greek word that we bring it from Greek over to English, agonize. Our English word, agonize. What does it mean to agonize? That's the same Greek word. Jesus is telling us, if you want to be saved, you got to agonize. To do what? Enter that straight gate. For he says, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Wow. So Jesus, again, seems to say these things that on the surface might even appear contradictory. So this matter of salvation, beloved, is so important because there are eternal consequences. You need to strive. Some people need to agonize over the state of their soul. And in Luke's gospel, I think here Jesus was primarily speaking to a selected audience. And that audience was the Jewish people to whom he came initially, unto the Jew first and then to the Greek. John 1:11, he came unto his own. And his own, what? Received him not. He talks about the master of the house who's risen up. He shuts the door. And then there are those who are banging on the outside to let him in. Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say, I knew you not whence ye are. I don't know who you are. He doesn't say, I once knew you, now I don't, implying loss of salvation or probably the loss of something. He says, I never knew you. I never loved you. Then shall he begin to say, then these people are going to come back and say, we've eaten and drunken in your presence, and thou taughtest in our streets. Beloved, only one generation was able to say that, and that was the generation of 30 AD. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You got a cross-reference back to Matthew chapter 7. Therefore shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now those who believe in carnal Christianity, listen to this. Listen carefully. Those who believe in the concept of a carnal Christian, they will take you to verse 28. And they will tell you that it's possible for a person to make a public profession of faith, receive Jesus as their Savior, but he's not their Lord yet, even go so far as to deny Christ and even apostatize from the faith, but they're going to get to heaven. One of their famous teachers taught this. That person is going to be in heaven, but they're going to be outside the marriage feast looking in, but at least they're in heaven. Now, is that what that verse 28 is teaching? That's how it's taught by some in the carnal Christian heresy movement. You're going to get to heaven by the skin of your teeth, even though you may go off into apostasy. You may even deny Christ in the latter days of your life. But you made a profession. You walked an aisle, you mumbled a prayer, you raised your hand, you shook the preacher's hand, you signed the visitor's card. You're in like Flint. But because Jesus was not Lord of your life, you're going to be outside the marriage feast, simply looking in at all the proceedings of which you cannot enjoy. but at least you had your fire insurance. That's blasphemy. Outright blasphemy. I believe Jesus here is talking about the Jews of his day, the Jews of his own generation. He says what to them? And you yourselves thrust out. What did he tell them on another occasion? Your house is left to you desolate. What did he say on another occasion? I'm going to take the kingdom of God away from you, and I'm going to give it to another nation who shall bear the fruit thereof. Matthew chapter 21. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Oh, get out of here, depart, Herod's after you. This is the son of Herod the Great. Now, is anybody going to tell Jesus he wasn't Christ-like? Go ye and tell that fox. Shame on Jesus for calling Herod Antipas a name, fox. Behold, I cast out devils, I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. He was talking about his passion. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. And then we have this mournful lament. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. Again, the context is Israel. First century Israel. Not 21st century Jews living in Palestine today. Israel is the second leading country in atheism and in agnosticism. Sweden being the first. Wow. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thy children together as a hen that gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And when was that fulfilled? Not at the end of time, but in their own generation with Jerusalem's destruction in AD 70. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.